Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I am not joined by Pete. He was yesterday. I don't know how calendars work and days fall during the week, so I switched up the order here. Instead, though, I have the host of America's Lakers podcast, Aaron Larsoul. Aaron, how you doing?
I am very well. How about you? I don't know how I feel about being a substitute for Pete, but... No.
Pete was a substitute. See, I had originally planned to have you go yesterday, but I record shows like the day before they air.
Got it.
And so Pete wound up being a substitute for you yesterday. It just so happens that you fortunately were able to make it work and record today. So,
well, unfortunately, this is a visual medium. Pete is a lot better than I am in all things, except I'm better looking than he is, which does not translate here on this podcast. But I am excited to be here and happy to talk some Lakers with you. Let's do it.
All right. So today's show, I don't know if you guys heard, but the Lakers had their intro press conference for Mo Wagner and for Svi Mykhailiuk, and Magic stole the show again.
Good job. Good job with the foreign names. I'm already quite impressed with the professionalism of this podcast.
It's one of the things that I'm decent at in this industry. I was able to say Giannis Antetokounmpo fairly early on in this thing. So that's the one thing that I feel fairly comfortable with, but... But yeah, Magic stole the show.
As he's one to do, right?
So that's what we're going to talk about in the first segment or two. And then we're going to move on to expectations or what we think the Lakers might be capable of, depending on who they do get this upcoming offseason. It's kind of one leads into the other. You guys know where to find the show. You guys know where to find me on Twitter at Anthony Irwin LA. You can find the show on Twitter at Locked On Lakers, and you can follow Aaron on Twitter at Aaron Larsoul, AaronLarsuel. Let's get into the Magic thing, because it was the typical intro press conference for rookies. They're never going to say anything. They're pretty well trained. I especially liked, I don't think that this didn't take place during the actual press conference, but I really liked during the immediate after press conference kind of questions that you see go out there, that Mo Wagner is already ahead of the game. He was a bigger fan of Dirk than Kobe, but he made sure to say, no, I really, really liked Kobe. I'm just from Germany and play the same position as Dirk, so I idolize Dirk. But the things that I gleaned from the actual press conference, not really much anything of note. But Magic Johnson talking about he kind of sort of did the Jim Buss thing, right? Like he kind of sort of did the
a little bit,
but not quite.
Self on notice, I guess, is the way that you could make the parallel to one Jim Buss. What it was after the press conference, Magic was going around. Magic, Luke, Rob Pelinka, and both of the rookies were kind of going around and finding smaller delegations of media and people to talk to. And then Magic did say something to the effect of, if we don't have anybody here in the next 2 years, then maybe it's time for me to move on also. That's what you're referring to, yes?
Yeah. It was during the actual press conference, I thought he handled the questions very well, right? He sounded as confident as you would expect Magic to, and he gave what I thought was the money quote regarding, if he feels any pressure on there and Magic. Right. I'll just read the quote here since I have it in front of me. He goes, where is it? There you go. No pressure. I'm going to do my job. I've always done that. You know how many titles I've been in. You think I'm worried about this? I played against Larry Bird in the finals. I mean, come on now. I've been in 9 finals. I've been in conference championships. I'm still the same dude. There's no pressure on me. And that's that kind of charisma is why people think, LeBron or Paul George are potentially on the table here compared to in years past when Magic wasn't necessarily playing the same role. But how did you, when you saw the quotes or when you heard him say those things about potentially stepping down if they strike out in 2 straight summers, how did you take that immediately upon hearing it?
Yeah, so I was still around when Magic said that. And to me, it comes from a different place. I thought the Jim Buss, his version of that, was kind of based on hubris, more of a feeling of, I'm not touchable and kind of a Lakers exceptionalism. It's going to happen just because we're the Lakers and it doesn't matter. So nobody is going to be able to hold me to this timeline. We have subsequently discovered that that's not the case, but with Magic, I think it comes from a different place. I think it comes from a place more of, and Magic is a confident guy. That quote that you just read, when Bill Plaschke, who has known Magic forever, asked him if Magic felt any pressure, I think that comes from a more introspective place, as mm-hmm. does his quote on about, you know, removing himself in a couple of years. I think that the Lakers and Magic and Rob Pelinka and Jeannie have targeted this summer and next summer that they are looking forward to. And now this summer is almost here. July 1st is almost here. But I think it's an acknowledgement that all of the work that has gone into giving the Lakers the flexibility this summer and then next summer in free agency, you know, in drafting, in possibly trading, in signing free agents with all the cap space, in developing the young core, the Lakers have all of the options available to them. And I think the overriding philosophy in getting towards this summer has been one of the options we want available is signing one, two max guys. And the Lakers and Magic specifically, he alluded to it today in the press conference, but he also has before that if this summer doesn't go how we would all like it to go, then there's lots of names available. There's more superstars available next year. So I think while with Jim Buss, there was some hubris in that, I think with Magic, it is more self-reflective insofar as, look, Magic's resume, he's been a great businessman. He's one of the best point guards ever. He's one of the best players in the NBA ever. But he hadn't had the experience in running the basketball operations of a team. So I think Magic understands, look, this is his time to shine. Magic's a great salesman. Magic has the history. And a lot of the guys that we're talking about in free agency have grown up as Magic Johnson fans, have looked up to him. So I think that's just Magic saying, I expect to make my mark in free agency, and I expect to be able to get to see this plan through to fruition. I expect to be able to get a lot of the guys that we've all been talking about. I expect to get those meetings, and I expect to be able to deliver on those guys, whether it's this year or next year. And I think it's Magic saying, look, this is part of my reason for being here, is because I can close on these guys. So I think it's just Magic kind of reading the situation and saying, this is in large part the reason why I'm here, is to be able to succeed and close these guys. And I think Magic thinks he'll be able to do it. And from what we've seen so far and what we all know of Magic, I have a partisan view on this, but I agree with him.
Yeah, that's the key part here, is that the confidence comes from stuff that he's done. The confidence comes from his own accomplishments. That's one difference between his quote about his own timeline and Jim Buss's timeline. There's another difference here that I think is worth noting. We're going to pay some bills really quickly, and then when we come back, I'll give my thoughts on the differences here as well.
Let's pay some bills. Who do we got to pay? Let's do it.
All I have to do is really just sit here for like 2 or 3 seconds, and then the ads fill themselves.
Whoever you are about to hear an ad from, I am an avid user of their product, and I think you should be too, everybody listening.
All right, we're going to take a quick second and come back and talk more about Magic. It's funny because if you had been on a couple weeks ago, I hadn't done a live read in a long time, and the first live read that I did was for a magical blue pill, I'll just say.
And sure.
And that was one way.
We got to extend the audience here.
It was one way to get back into the live read game. But let's get.
And as some of us, myself in particular, get a little older. I'm 40 now. That can be quite useful in certain circumstances.
I wanted to the big difference here, though, with Jim Buss's timeline and Magic's timeline, aside from the two guys' actual personal accomplishments, right, is that Magic has some wiggle room here. Jim Buss specifically said that he wanted to, if the Lakers weren't in the Western Conference Finals, I think it was like 3 years after he had said, or he had initiated this timeline, that he would step down, right? And that gave Jeannie Buss the leverage, or it was all she needed to kind of move him out a little bit. And for Magic, though, there's wiggle room. He made sure in the press conference to talk about sustainable success, and that usually comes from development. In the quote itself, he kind of started to allude to the guys that they just drafted this year, and that again gets back to development. So, like, I think if the Lakers don't sign somebody, I agree with him that it would be failure to an extent, because that's what he was brought here to do. But there are still ways that the Lakers can continue to improve. And in, you know, this upcoming summer and next summer, either they'll improve via free agency or trades. Guys will take steps forward in their development and the team will improve that way, or a combination of the two situations. And fortunately, and I don't think this is something that he did on purpose. I honestly think it was just him being confident, because you have to have confidence to have the success that he's had. But I think in putting it the way that he put it, there's some wiggle room here. And I don't think there's a scenario here where Magic steps down outside of just pure, like, outright failure across the board in development and in player personnel acquisition. Like, I don't think there's a scenario here where Magic is not in the position that he currently holds 2 years from now.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think Magic says that if he thinks there's any chance of him stepping away or being forced to step away. But I think there's two things kind of at play here. One, as you mentioned, look, this is what Magic has been, it's here for. We didn't know, and Magic has done a fantastic job as the head of basketball operations. Mm-hmm. The Lakers have kind of, look, it's a very tough thing to do in the NBA. The Lakers have cleaned up their books and improved the roster, and that is really difficult to do. Mm-hmm. To clean up your books while making the team on the floor better is a trick that is very difficult to do, and Magic has done that. When Magic was brought in, we knew him as Magic Johnson. We didn't know his credentials for getting the job weren't that he had turned around different franchises, weren't that he oversaw all these great free agency periods, all these great drafts. We didn't know. We thought Magic could handle the job, but we didn't know. Now, even before Rob Pelinka was brought in, the trade with Houston has turned out to be a home run. It got off of some money. It also brought in Kyle Kuzma. So the everything that Magic has done has been a home run, but we didn't know. What we did know, or what we were able to assume with more certainty than he could do the job, is this portion of the job specifically. The portion of the job where guys are going to get in the meetings with Magic, and Magic, with that charisma and his history in basketball, is going to be able to sell guys on what it's like to be a Laker, what it's like to be one of the all-time Laker greats. And he is in a unique position to be able to do that. So really, that's why Magic is here. That's the part we knew he could do. We assumed, and he's proven it right so far, that he'd be capable and even better than capable at the other aspects of the job. But Magic understands the reason he is here is for the next few weeks specifically. So I think that's important to recognize. And I think the other important thing, you mentioned Magic talking about the young guys and developing the young guys and how that can be, you know, a pitfall of the plan. The Lakers are in a really unique position to be able to, A, just go forward with the guys they have, or B, go and get guys and add these young guys to the guys that you bring in, the superstars that you hopefully bring in. But I think it's also important to note that, you know, one of the reasons that some of the guys that are circling around as free agents are available is because they're not happy with the situation they are potentially leaving. Specifically, it is demonstrated to me, and I'm sure the Lakers and everyone else, that you need to be able to do both. You know, a lot of teams, when they get in this win now scenario, they just start throwing young guys around to bring in pieces that they think better fit to win now. And that, it doesn't work. You have to also be able to develop while you have these superstars and have this window open to try to win now. You also have to draft well and develop well. You have to still focus on those young guys, because who knows how long the superstars are going to be around. You have to develop your superstars either as a plan on its own, or while you are chasing championships in the now, you still have to do whatever it is you can to try to develop superstars. It extends your window, and it makes it possibly gives you guys that superstars want to play with. So I think it's Magic is smart in really focusing, in addition to going after these superstars, Magic is really smart in remembering and focusing on, look, we have these great young players, Lonzo and Brandon and Kuz and Josh Hart. Like, how many other teams in the NBA have, and Julius Randle, should it work out that he can be back? How many guys in the NBA, how many teams rather in the NBA can say we have four or five, you know, potentially anywhere from decent starter up to star, superstar, all-star level guys, five, six guys at this age, 23 and under, that you can project, look, at worst, I know this is a good starter in the NBA. So it's really, the Lakers are in a unique position, and I think it's important that Magic understands that even while you're going after all these superstars that everybody knows the name, I can't mention them specifically, but everybody knows these names, while you're doing that, still focusing on the young guys and developing them either for the future to extend the window, to appeal to those free agents, or if you just get them, you don't want to just completely ignore the future, because we've seen in other places what happens when you go all in right now and just, you know, kind of eliminate any plans for the future.
Yeah, I think the main difference, obviously, between the trajectories of the Cavs and the Warriors is Kevin Durant, obviously, right? The ability to add Kevin Durant, but they aren't able to do that if they aren't a quote-unquote homegrown team. Steph is on a cheap contract because he's been under team control for so long, and Draymond took less apparently to be able to play with Durant as well, and they've been able to continue to add to that roster. The Jordan Bells come to mind, McCaw comes to mind as well.
Even if you don't add KD, the Warriors' trajectory is still different because they built from young guys,
right?
And in Cleveland, that's different, because Cleveland was always, and in Miami previous to that, it was always one-year deal. Mm-hmm. What are we going to do right now to make sure it happens right now? So I think, yes, obviously the trajectory that the Warriors were on allowed them to add Kevin Durant. But I think even without that, it was a different path, because they weren't forced to do everything right now as Cleveland and Miami was forced to. Sorry to interrupt you. Continue.
Oh, I was just building on the point you were making that even while the Warriors were a better roster, I think objectively speaking, than Cleveland, despite LeBron being on Cleveland, they've been able to continue to improve because they've added those young pieces, and those young pieces' development improves the roster cheap. And they have the opportunity to be able to keep this core together, because Jordan Bell, McCaw, like those kinds of guys are going to be cheap. And that's where, you know, veterans in the NBA are not, they can be expensive. Tristan Thompson's like, I think he was an $80 million guy. J.R. Smith is owed another $25 over the next 3 years or so. Like, veterans are expensive.
Two years.
What's that?
They are 2 years.
Yeah. And but like you're
next year. And yeah.
But you're talking about guys who are going to be more expensive and might not improve in the ways that some of these young guys might as well. So it'll be interesting if those guys.
The cost control of people, of guys on their rookie deals is,
it's so valuable.
It is really the differentiator in a league that has a soft salary cap. It is where you find inefficiencies in the marketplace. I relate it back to the Oakland A's and Moneyball, which everybody thinks was about, finding guys on base percentage is more important than batting average, et cetera. I mean, that's a crude way of looking at it, but that's not what it was. It was the A's and Billy Beane finding inefficiencies in the marketplace, and whatever anybody else thinks is valuable, we're going to try to find value in different ways. And I think that is the importance of rookie contracts in the NBA. If I can get 70% or 80% of the production on 1/10 of the contract, that's the value of the rookie deal, which is why drafting is so important. And the Lakers have been great at it. And you make a great point. That's why the Warriors were able, in addition to the cap spike, but that's why the Warriors were able to be the Warriors, because They found a seventh round, the seventh overall pick, the 11th overall pick, second round picks to build their core, and they didn't have to go out and, you know, spend big money on a free agent until later down the road when their team was already formed.
Yep. We're going to take one more second here, and when we come back, we're going to talk about ceilings just based on different scenarios here. So sit tight, and we'll get to that here in a second. All right, so there are, like Magic said, he and Rob Pelinka are going over hundreds of scenarios and hundreds of players and all the various ways that this offseason might be able to play out. I'm just going to simplify it down to, if the Lakers get one superstar, be it LeBron, be it Paul George, whatever, or whomever, but if they get one guy, what is that team capable of? If they get no guys, what is just this young core capable of becoming? And if they get two guys, and if everything plays out the way that they kind of hope that it plays out this upcoming summer, how high a ceiling does that team have? So we'll start from the bottom. If they don't get anybody, and they're able to bring back Randall and surround the young core with the necessary role players to fill out a roster, what do you think that team would be capable of?
So I guess for this exercise, I guess for this question, we're going to say we will add the two draft picks to basically the team that finished last year. Randall's coming back, Isaiah Thomas is back, hell, even Channing Frye. We're going to bring Channing back. We'll just run the whole thing back. Is that what we're going with?
Yep. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. I think there is some natural development. I have talked to Coach Walton about this actually just a few days ago. Talked to Rob Pelinka about this just a few days ago also. I think that this team improves. I think the guys have been, and I've been in the NBA a lot. I've been used to work with the Warriors, was in the Trailblazers front office for 9 years. This team, this offseason, the work that the young guys are putting in, Kyle Kuzma, Josh Hart specifically, I have seen at the facility basically every day. Lonzo has been in quite a bit. We've all seen that the development work that they've done on their bodies is been huge. And that usually kind of carries over first year to second year. But even more so than that, the skill work that has been put in, but just the commitment to being pros and the idea of giving up an off season to be in the facility every day has really impressed me. So I think we're going to see a jump from the rookies and from the young guys too. Brandon Ingram has been in a bunch, but specifically Kuz and Josh Hart and then Zoe have been in so much that I expect this team to jump forward from year one to two with those rookies more than most. So, the Western Conference is so tough that I think it's probably another year away before this is a playoff team. But as far as ceilings go, I think the ceiling is a playoff team. I don't know what it took. I think Denver and Minnesota were right there. Was it like 45, 46 wins?
Yeah, something like that. Mm-hmm.
So, I think the Lakers ceiling is probably in that neighborhood, but I think a kind of general expectation for this team, as the roster finished last year with the improvement of the young guys, hopefully better health from Lonzo, and Josh Hart. Who knows, we didn't talk about him, but if we're just running it back from last year, maybe KCP on another short-term deal. I would expect this team, and I think a fair expectation for this team is 500, so kind of a fringe playoff team, a possible 7 or 8 seed. My expectation is about 500, with the ceiling being a kind of a low-level playoff seed.
Yeah, the Wolves got in at 47 wins. The Lakers finished last year with 35. But that was with Lonzo missing 30 games. You had the kind of weirdness going on where Randall wasn't playing enough early on in the season. So I think they could jump, another 10 games.
Mo Wagner, I think, mm-hmm. I think their usefulness to the Lakers – supersedes just kind of in a vacuum what they are as players, because they very much, and this was purposeful by Magic and Rob, they serve a specific purpose. The Lakers identified a need to shoot the ball, to space the floor, to give driving lanes to Lonzo and Kuz, and to complement Julius Randle if he's back. So I think in a vacuum, I think the Lakers draft picks are better in the Lakers system and for the Lakers specifically. And I think that we will see the Lakers shooting the ball from distance better than we did.
Yeah, I completely agree. I don't know if it's 10 games worth or 12 games worth of improvement, but I think they wind up being in that playoff conversation longer into the season than they were the last few years. Let's say they add one guy. Let's say they add one superstar this year. I think they jump up to easily a playoff team. I believe they get to about the sixth seed would be my guess. Would you agree?
Well, it depends on who that guy is. Mm-hmm. But yeah, conceptually, I think that if the one superstar comes and you're still you bring Julius back and the roster looks basically like it did towards the end of last year, I suspect that the Lakers probably fall somewhere between 9 and 5 in the Western Conference. I would say most likely scenario is 7-8 with a possible 5 and a kind of a floor of 9. But yeah, I think with one superstar, the Lakers are probably a 46 to 48 somewhere in there, maybe mm-hmm. a 50 win team at the high side of it.
And if they add a second guy to that, if their miracle offseason comes into play, I think they I would take them against just about anybody in the conference aside from the Warriors. And I think it has a lot to do with matchups and stuff with Houston. Right. Chris Paul is a year older, and you saw him get hurt just playing in by the end of that series. I think they wind up being the two seed if they get both the guys that they're talking about getting this year.
So I'll let you mention those names, but if both guys do show up with nothing else and the young core stays intact, I would, because of kind of growing pains and being a year and 2 years behind in the system, I would put them in the regular season. I would put them behind the Warriors and behind the Rockets as the team is trying to figure out, kind of build that identity and display that chemistry. I think the Lakers would in that scenario be better later in the year and would be better in the playoffs. Now, once the playoffs get here, I would take the Lakers in a playoff series in the Western Conference against anybody but the Warriors. So I would say in that scenario, I think it's like a 53-55 win regular season team, which I would guess would put them third. But I would pick them after the Warriors as the second favorite coming out of the West once the playoffs start. I think that's a better playoff team than regular season team, I guess, is my way of saying it. Mm-hmm. So 3 seed in the West in the regular season. But I think that team can go into Houston, theoretically, if Houston decides they don't need to dominate the regular season as the Warriors showed them last year. And the Warriors and Rockets kind of play to, the lower end of their capabilities. I would say Warriors 1, Rockets 2, Lakers 3 in the regular season. But then I would pick the Lakers to beat the Rockets in Houston, with Houston having home court advantage in the playoffs. But then I hate to put it this way, but still, I think the Warriors are the team coming out of the West in that scenario. But look, from where the Lakers have been the last few years to immediately get in that conversation. And I think the Lakers could push the Warriors. I don't think it would be just, a walkover. I think that's a great result for the Lakers, and the Lakers in that case would be a team that kind of is on the upswing with room to still grow as the young guys develop. That's the threading the needle that Rob Pelinka and Magic have talked about while bringing in those guys and still developing the young core. I think the Lakers probably are the second best team in the West in the playoffs, and with a bullet, as they say, right?
They got a puncher's chance, I think, in that series. I mean, hell, LeBron challenged this Warriors team, which I think this Warriors team is going to be better than next year's Warriors team.
I agree. But
they'll
certainly have more wings.
They were a J.R. Smith dribbling in the wrong direction away from stealing game one. Game three was still close, and that was LeBron playing with Jordan Clarkson, who was actively harmful in that series. I think this team that he would be joining in L.A. would be objectively better than what he's playing with in Cleveland. And I wanted to touch on or add on to the point that you were making about Golden State and even Houston in this case, is that both those teams are kind of like Chris Paul isn't getting any younger, and potentially for the Warriors, they might have to make a decision between Klay Thompson and Draymond Green. So the Lakers, you know, maybe, or obviously, I think the Warriors wind up being the favorite next season to come out of the West. But after that, if they lose one of those key four pieces and the Lakers are able to keep this young core together and they continue to improve with the couple superstars, with LeBron or with Paul George or whomever they might be playing with, I think in a couple of years from now, you're talking about a potential title favorite. And that's wild, considering 2 years ago or a year ago from now, we were wondering, all right, where's bottom?
Well, yeah, I think that's important to recognize that fans, in large part, and I understand this, as you know, we've all had in various sports, we've all had teams we've rooted for. And sometimes for fans, it's tough to see the bigger picture. You see the suffering right now, you see the losing right now, or you see the mediocrity, or you see whatever. And the Warriors look like, I guess the way I would say it is, like, even though the Warriors look kind of unbeatable now, it doesn't mean that that's how it's always going to be. Look, you know, I grew up in San Francisco. I grew up a Warriors fan, and I remember a lot of 25 and 57 Warriors teams. So just because the Warriors are as they are now doesn't mean that is always the order of thing. Lakers fans know that. The Lakers fans have watched the Lakers win championship after championship. So a lot of teams have tried to put off their decision making and their roster building to be, you know, in reference and deference to, as in fear of the Warriors monster. And who knows? Right. So I respect what the Rockets said. We're not afraid of the Warriors. Yep. We're going after it right now. And you could make the argument that without a Chris Paul hamstring pull or tear or whatever it was, that the Rockets were right there to beat the Warriors. So I think it's important, the point that you just made. You don't want to, and Magic has talked about that, you don't want to ignore the future, right? You want to keep building towards something. But if you have a chance to go after it right now, do it. Mm-hmm. And I think the Lakers are going to do that. Who knows what could happen? You know, whoever can get injured or bad luck or bad chemistry, you never know. So I think you're right about that in making the moves. If the Lakers get those two guys that we've been talking about, that everybody has been talking about, then look, it gives you a chance right now and it gives you a chance going forward. And whether that makes the Lakers the favorite in a couple years, I think that's definitely possible. As you said, who knows what happens with the Warriors? Who knows what happens in Boston? Who knows what happens in Philly? All these other places, who knows what next offseason looks like for the Lakers? So I'm kind of the opinion you're smart about it, but you go after the best guys you can, and you create the best team you can right now. You try not to mortgage the future, but if you can give yourself a shot right now, anytime you can put yourself in the championship discussion going into a year, I think you have to do that. And that's what the Lakers are trying to do. And I think may very well succeed in doing, and being able to, as I keep talking about, thread the needle that it doesn't kill your possibilities for the future. I think you're right. If you had to ask me right now, who is the favorite 3 years from now, I would guess it's the Warriors and the Lakers. And I think anytime you have an opportunity to put yourself in that conversation, you do it.
Absolutely. This was a lot of fun, man. Thanks for hopping on.
Thank you.
It's taken too long, frankly. Like, you know, America's...
I blame you, but yes. I accept no response. You're right. And it is just as much of my fault as anybody's. We got to get you hanging out on America's Lakers podcast, which, as you know, this is my shameless plug, which, as you know, I'm sure is the official podcast of the Los Angeles Lakers, which you can hear on, you know, Apple iTunes and all that, but also on Lakers.com. So
I was going to plug it. And I was going to say, though, before we went actually heading into this week, I had made a personal ultimatum for myself that if I didn't have you on this podcast, I was going to step down by the end of the week.
Oh, and, no.
Yeah, but fortunately it worked out. You know, much like magic, I think I might. I had an inclination as to how this week might play out. Just
so
like,
did you give yourself the week? So you were going to step down by the start of the time where I could actually possibly actually not really I couldn't, but where people could officially talk to other people. You were going to.
I was that confident in my abilities to get you on the show.
Well, I guess your Saturday night at 9 o'clock Pacific time. You were done if I wasn't on.
Yep, I was it. That was. I mean, I like I said, it was just. I was that confident in my abilities. I was. I got you in the DMs and I had you at the negotiating table, and we were able to make it happen.
Well, thank you for having me. And how about this? I will say, no matter what happens. This week, next week, summer league, whatever. I literally, anytime you want me on, it would be my honor. I don't know what I add to your show because I think you probably do much better without me. But
that's not true.
I really enjoy reading your stuff. And I'm very proud of you guys with the site. In any way that I can help, I want to. And anytime you want me on, I am a text away. And 8 minutes later, I will do it. I'm sure this will be your least downloaded episode of all, but I'm happy to do it. If you run out of literally every other option, I'm happy to do it.
I talked about sandwiches on the last two shows, so I don't think it's going to be the least downloaded show.
Well, hold on now. You didn't tell me that. What kind of sandwiches? Let's get into this.
Oh,
now.
See, my rule is put as much meat as you can possibly put on a sandwich and make it spicy. And I think it's impossible to mess up a sandwich at that point. Oh, and keep the tomatoes. Like, don't put tomatoes on my sandwich. But a bunch of meat, maybe some bacon.
Oh yeah,
and then you know some. I like avocado or guacamole a little bit. Get some, maybe a little Dijon mustard or depending on the other sauces on there, maybe a little sriracha, like just give it a little kick.
Well, I love what you just said there. Everything about the mayonnaise, I think mayonnaise is of the devil.
Yes. Oh, that's gross.
Yeah. I can't mess with the mayonnaise. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So as a black man, I, you know, we have, we can't, but I love what you said about the everything hot. So as much meat as possible and as spicy as possible. Also no bread for me. I try to, you know, as I come into my old age here, I try to pretend like I'm getting back into basketball shape. So I try to stay away from the bread, but I agree with that. With as much meat and as much spice as possible, I'm in.
Yep.
So next time I'm on, we can have that discussion if a hamburger is a sandwich,
oh man,
hot dog is a sandwich, all of that.
Looking forward to it. That was that's Aaron Larsoul of America's Lakers podcast. Make sure you guys are checking that out. Pete will hop on there every so often too. Great information going there.
Mo Wagner will be I think next week.
Oh hell yeah,
be on the last one I did one from draft night. We had Luke Walton was on and Rob Pelinka was on. Jeannie pops on from time to time. So we're gonna talk to Magic this off season and going to summer league and be at camp and on the road and at home games. So it'll be good coverage. Not nearly the insight you will get here and on Silver Screen and Roll, but you know, we try to do a little something every once in a while.
We're just trying to keep up with everybody else. That'll do it for this episode, though. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you, Aaron, for hopping on. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. I think Pete will be back. I'm pretty sure.
Oh, Pete, we don't even need my episode. It's Pete tomorrow. get Pete. You actually learned something from Pete. He's going to tell you, he's going to actually explain to you how Mo Wagner is going to guard people switching in the pick and roll, which I have my concerns about. But he's fleet-footed enough to do it, so.
We'll find out.
Because he never had to at Michigan. That's what it is, right?
Yeah, that was basically what he said at the press conference. It was incredible.
I think you're going to see a lot of drop coverages from Mo in the Brook Lopez mold. I think Mo is – I think he's athletic enough to do it, but it's difficult to do in the NBA. They hedged a lot at Michigan, hard hedge. I don't know if he can do that yet in the NBA. So I think early in the year it's going to be a lot of drop coverages from Mo, and then he'll work into being effective as – guarding switches.
Yeah, hopefully that's
basketball insight. Look at that
on the list of potential concerns, I hope that's really low. Like, if that's what we're talking about, then I think we have bigger issues moving forward.
Well, I agree with that, and I think Mo's going to be a really good offensive player. I think he is stretching the floor in offense. I think the shooting will translate. Svi, I think his shooting will translate too. And if some of the guys show up that are rumored to possibly show up, you can't have enough shooters. So.
Absolutely. Have a great rest of your day, Aaron, and everybody listening to this. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. Again, Aaron, I can't thank you enough for hopping on. We'll talk to you soon.
My pleasure. Anytime. You got the number.